Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter podcast. This is Julia Legend. It is my great pleasure to introduce you to my very special guest today. His name is Brian Robinson. He is a talented, multi-skilled contemporary artist whose practice includes printmaking, painting, sculpture, installation, and design. He's also the recipient of the Western Australian Indigenous Art Award in 2013, the nation's richest Indigenous Arts Prize for exceptional achievements by an Australian Indigenous artist. Brian was selected over 130 nominations received from across Australia. Some of his works are exhibited in Monaco Palace and across Australia. Brian is most famous in Cairns for his stainless steel woven fish sculptures in the Esplanade Lagoon in Cairns, Australia. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you for such a wonderful introduction, I suppose. Yeah, no, it's
well deserved, Brian. So, Brian, you are a man with many talents. You paint, you sculpt, you build installations. Which one is your favorite art form? Do you have one?
Well, you know, when I look at, I suppose, the spectrum of arts practice that I currently sort of delve in, everything for me comes from a drawing, you know, sort of basis. So for me, you know, my love of drawing, you know, just literally with pencil or pen or, you know, anything like that would be, you know, probably my most favorite art medium to delve in, because everything else, you know, sort of branches out from that.
Okay.
But then, you know, sort of following from that, I'm probably a sculptor at heart. I see everything in three-dimensional form. I see everything as a little, you know, sort of sculpture, basically, everywhere I look.
Yeah.
You know, people that I see, you know, sort of all the experiences that I have can be translated back into, you know, some type of sculptural, you know, sort of form. So definitely, yeah, it would have to be drawing and sculpture, I think.
Okay. So why so many different forms, Brian? Do you like the challenge? I mean, you want to push yourself to the edge or something?
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, unfortunately, I'm someone who gets bored, you know, quite quickly. So that is why I'm constantly, you know, sort of looking at the ways that I can literally, you know, sort of push my practice and, you know, sort of challenge not only, you know, sort of the audiences that view my, you know, sort of work and things like that, but just me, you know, sort of personally. I love to be challenged, love to, you know, sort of push my practice.
Yeah.
Love, I suppose, experimentation with all the mediums that I currently work in.
Yeah.
Plus those that, you know, I will, you know, sort of slowly introduce into the fold as well. So yeah, that's just me as, you know, sort of, I suppose, just generally, really. And so I suppose, you know, sort of came from, you know, a childhood growing up in the island where, up on Thursday Island, up in the Torres Straits, where I suppose we used the entire island as, you know, sort of as my playground, really, as my backyard. And so there was a lot of time to, I suppose, explore, you know, not only myself, but, you know, the skills that, you know, I come to, you know, sort of, yeah, come to use within my practice. So, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get into art, Brian? Like, where did you catch the bug from, like, and at what age?
Well, I think I caught the bug when I was still in the womb, actually, in my mother's womb. I've always been artistic.
Yeah.
And I always say that I was born with a pencil in my hand.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's always something that I've done, really. I was one of those, you know, sort of kids that would sit at the kitchen room table for, you know, sort of hours on end, just sketching out of, you know, sort of comics.
Yeah.
You know, sort of encyclopedias,
yeah.
Women's Weekly, you know, all the range of, you know, sort of magazines and, you know, sort of books that we used to have around the house,
yeah,
in the library at school, you know, and then from imagination as well. And it was slowly, you know, sort of, yeah, building my sort of practice that way, really.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Brian, I absolutely love your work. They're so amazing. But the one piece that I truly admire, I believe, is currently on display at the Oceania Graphic Museum in Monaco at the moment. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. It's a large, I suppose they're probably seen as an installation, really. And it's a piece called, Malu Gipalayo.
Yeah.
And it actually means ocean mud crabs when, you know, sort of translated from my, traditional tongue or, you know, of, Kalalagoya.
Oh, okay.
So it's three large, metal mud crabs, basically.
Yeah.
That are climbing the facade of that magnificent institution over in Monaco.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I talk large, each crab is about 4 meters in, you know, sort of width and, length, and they're about a meter, you know, sort of deep.
Wow.
So they're really, you know, sort of large pieces. And it's actually the first time that, an artist anywhere, you know, sort of around the world has been able to exhibit, their art practice, you know, literally, attached to the side of that building. So it was an amazing experience. You know, the crowd is still there. And they will be there for, you know, a number of months to come as well. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So how long did it take you to complete that piece, and what kind of tools and materials did you use to create such a brilliant masterpiece?
Well, those pieces really fit into probably my public art practice. So large, you know, sort of sculptural work that sit out in, you know, sort of public and, you know, sort of civic spaces for everyone to enjoy. So they started, you're looking at a number of years ago, actually, when I first made the small model that has grown bigger and bigger, you know, sort of each time that I've actually made it. And so with those pieces there, they're made of a lightweight aluminium,
yeah,
which is a honeycomb aluminium. Mm-hmm. So it's got a thin sheet of aluminium, you know, sort of top and bottom to the material, and then there's a honeycomb structure,
yeah,
inside those two sheets,
wow,
which gives it, you know, the thickness as well as the tensile strength that the material has.
Yeah.
So it's made of this, you know, sort of material.
Yeah.
And I suppose with my public art practice, I'm the designer, I suppose, of the work.
Yeah.
And then with those large ones, because I don't really have that sort of size or, you know, that sort of space in my studio, yeah, they were actually fabricated by a company in Sydney called Tilt Industrial Design. So they're a company that really looked at building for the architectural industry here in Australia and, you know, sort of overseas. So yeah, I worked closely with them and also my public art management team of Creative Move in Brisbane to get them fabricated and, you know, sort of sent over on the plane, actually, in time for the opening.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, whenever I look at your art, I'm just like mesmerized, you know. I could, you know, just stay in front of the computer and staring at it for hours, like, wow, look at all this crazy work.
I'm not your typical indigenous artist, I suppose. I create sort of anything and everything that, you know, sort of comes to mind, really. And I still have, you know, sort of wild dreams and things like that, and we'll get out of bed, you know, halfway through the night and sketch it out. And so, you know, yeah. Just one of those mad family artists, really.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I always into Aboriginal art, and especially the traditional way, you know, not your way. Your way is just something totally new to me. So, Brian, do you have a favorite piece?
Oh, actually, there is a piece that's on display at the Queensland Art Gallery at the moment. And its partner, I suppose, partner piece is also hanging in an exhibition that I've got here in Cairns called Pacific Cross Current. And those two pieces come under, you know, sort of the one title, which is Up in the Heavens, the Gods Contemplate Their Next Move.
Another of my favorite.
You've got a lot of favorites.
I know.
Yeah, but it was the first time that I actually combined both my printmaking practice with a minimal relief sort of sculptural practice as well. So it's a combination of the two mediums that I love to, you know, sort of explore currently. And, you know, my fascination, I suppose, with the Renaissance period, sort of masters such as, you know, sort of Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci and people like that really come to play in this, you know, in this particular work, because it is actually the first couple of panels that make up the Sistine Chapel ceiling fresco, which is the panels that looks at the creation of Adam, yeah. the joining of the two fingers, basically. Yeah. And with it being, I suppose, a ceiling, you know, sort of based work, that's where I got the idea of to actually, you know, have this work suspended from the ceiling.
Yeah. You have to tell the listeners what kind of tools and materials you use for that piece, Brian. It's so incredible.
Yeah, definitely. So it's basically broken up into six panels. So four panels, a large lino cut print that are all hand carved into silk cut linoleum, which are then printed onto paper, and then the paper is then adhered to board. So, you know, it's stiff enough to actually be suspended from, you know, from the ceiling. Each one of those boards measures 1 meter by 2 meters, and then you've got a sculptured frieze that basically combines with those printed sections. And those sculptured, you know, sort of sections were sort of hand cut using jigsaws. So there's a lot of, you know, sort of intricate, you know, sort of jigsaw cutting and, you know, die cut, you know, sort of fretwork within that top panel. And then they're multi layered using wooden dowels. To give the idea of depth within that panel. And then other things that are also added into that is a large carved wooden Rubik's cube. You've got shells, feathers, some raffia, as well as some toys.
Toys? What kind of toys?
There's a little, if you look closely at that sculpture section, there's a little Spider-Man that climbs across one of the panels. And then there's also his, one of his arch nemesis, which is, the goblin. He's also within that panel. And then you've got, plastic, paper planes as well that I constructed to, you know, sort of fit within that, you know, sort of sky sort of realm. So with a ceiling base, you really need to lay under the work to absorb, you know, the entire sort of piece. And in, you're looking at a scale of, you know, the piece is almost, you know, sort of 4 meters squared and, yeah, a large sort of ceiling. And then, you know, when you look deeper into the lino cut section, it's got the large figures, but instead of having religious, you know, sort of flowing gowns and, you know, that sort of paraphernalia, they've been stripped of all of that, and they're adorned with Torres Strait masks, so Turtle masks, wooden masks, and things like that, you know, sort of breastplates. And then also within, you know, that sort of sky section, you've got references to Halley's Comet, satellites, sort of some Star Wars fighter planes in there as well, the Death Star, there's Astro Boy, you name it, you know, it's all sort of tucked into this large concoction, really. Yeah, and it was, you know, a fantastic, you know, sort of thing to, you know, to fabricate. And that was done back in 2012.
Wow. You make me curious now. I see maybe half of what you described in there, but I didn't see the whole lot. I just realized I have missed so much. better do my homework, you know, more thorough next time. So, Brian, do you get attached to your work? Because my father-in-law, he's also an artist. And he mainly works with wood, but whenever we ask him for a piece of his work, he usually ends up making another copy.
You do get attached to certain pieces of work, particularly, you know, if they're a new sort of doll that you're, you know, sort of working on, or it's a new medium that you're working in or something like that, is the first, you know, sort of piece that you're, you know, sort of trialing. You do generally get attached to, you know, some of those work. Yeah. But, you know, my studio is quite small, but I often say it's a small studio, but large things get made from this small studio. So, you know, limited space. So I was at a point where I need to, you know, sort of fabricate the work as, you know, over a number of weeks and things like that, and then send it on to my agent who can sell the work for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious now, Brian, if I want that piece of art, the one you just described, how much would it cost to buy that piece? Oh, I mean, first of all, you need to have a massive house to store it.
Yeah, it's a big wall space, or you know, a big ceiling or something like
that's
that.
Right. Yes, that's right. But, you know, for those that have a humongous home and, you know, they have so much space, I mean, how much would it cost them to get that kind of work from you?
A piece like that would probably, would be, you know, sitting around the vicinity of sort of $40,000 to $50,000. But then, you know, I've got smaller, you know, sort of additions, you know, sort of prints and sculptures that, you know, range anywhere from, you know, a couple hundred dollars, you know, sort of $300, you know, sort of upwards, really. Yeah.
I think you undercharge your work, Brian. I mean, here I am listening to all the effort and the time that you're putting in that piece. I was thinking of like close to $500,000 or $1 million.
Oh.
When you tell me 50,000.
I haven't hit that limit yet.
Maybe you should increase the price.
But, you know, when you're actually, you know, sort of talking, you know, those sorts of, you know, sort of figures up in, you know, the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
That's when you start to look at my public art practice.
Okay.
So large sculptures that sit out in the air sort of the public.
Oh, okay.
So, they range anywhere from, you know, 100,000 upwards.
Yeah.
For, you know, those large sort of, metal sculptures.
Oh, okay.
And they're generally made of, you know, sort of stainless steel or, you know, cast aluminium or, you know, sort of something like that.
Okay. Well, at least I have hope to buy some of your works then, because I was just thinking, gosh, I don't think I'm able to buy any of this. First, I have to build a really big house, Brian, then I'll go and get that sculpture.
No worries. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll wait your call.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Just keep it on hold for me. Can I buy it with lay-by? Brian, not many parents would encourage their children to pursue this path. Is struggling artist a myth, or is it really a tough gig? Like, how hard is it to be an artist, like financially and emotionally?
Well, you know, it is unfortunately a very, you know, sort of long road to follow.
Yeah.
And sometimes a very, you know, sort of lonely, I suppose, sort of road at times as well. As a young child, you know, and even though I was, you know, artistic, you know, right from birth, really, and it was, you know, something that I wanted to pursue and things like that. And, you know, my parents did, you know, sort of know this from an early age. But, you know, I was still told, unfortunately, that, well, why do you want to do that? You know, why do you want to be, you know, a struggling, you know, sort of artist? You won't make a lot of money. And so I think, in hindsight, that's probably given me, you know, a little bit of drive to succeed, really, and to, you know, sort of continually explore and reinvent, you know, sort of myself and my practice. It would have been, you know, some of those, profound moments, you know, such as that, to be honest. And, you know, like I said, you know, it is a long, you know, sort of road to even get to, you know, the point where I'm at now. And, you know, I've been doing art practice for, you know, 20-something years now. Slowly, you know, sort of, developing, you know, sort of more and more skills and, you know, getting contact right across the country and, you know, sort of now internationally. And it's about, you know, sort of, building on, you know, all of that experience and, you know, sort of absorbing it back into, you know, your being, really. And so, you know, there's many late nights, early mornings, that are spent on the practice. And, you know, any general, you know, sort of day for me, generally, you know, sort of starts, sort of 6 in the morning or something like that, where, you know, I need to, you know, crawl out of bed and, you know, start the day, get the younger kids ready for school, be the dad around the house, I suppose. And I've got my studio here at home, so, you know, I don't have to travel that far to actually get to work. And, you know, sort of drop them off at school and, you know, do all of that. But once that's done, it's you know, sort of straight into the studio. And, you know, I'll be there all day until I need to pick them up in the afternoons. And then generally I'll be, you know, sort of after dinner at night, I'll then, you know, sort of venture back into the studio and spend, you know, a number of hours, you know, either, you know, sort of contemplating work or, you know, flicking through visual material for the next idea, or, you know, sort of fabricating work, and that cycle, you know, yeah, I've been doing that for many years now.
Wow.
Plus, you know, I also spent 14 years working as a curator at the Cairns Regional Gallery, you know, doing art administration and, you know, sort of organising exhibitions and developing exhibitions for other artists. So that's another sort of strong side to, you know, my arts practice as well, is, you know, the ability to all of that other side, really.
Sounded like a really, really tough gig, Brian. So would you encourage the young kids today to follow the path?
Yeah, I would encourage anyone, really, young or old. If you've got that, you know, sort of creative spark, and you've always wanted to, you know, sort of pursue a practice, whether that's, you know, sort of part-time, full-time, or, you know, sort of in between, I would definitely encourage anyone and everyone to, you know, literally follow their dreams. Because, you know, when I was growing up, there was really only two, you know, sort of paths that I wanted to pursue. One was basketball, because I was a mad basketball, you know, sort of fanatic.
Yeah.
And the other was art. So wherever we went around the island, I had, you know, a basketball tucked under one arm and a sketchbook under the other.
Lucky you. So,
yeah, that's right.
I'm just curious, Brian, like, what keeps you going when the time is tough?
Well, I suppose, you know, the support of my immediate family. So my wife, Tanya, who's probably, my biggest fan. And then my three children. So I've got a daughter, Amber, who lives with me up in Canberra. And then I've got two younger boys, Raiden and Leonardo. And so, you know, it's their energy and, you know, mounds of toys and, you know, sort of other paraphernalia around the house that, you know, I will often absorb, and, you know, sort of it'll come to show in the work that I do create. Because it is, you know, a lot of my practice is humorous.
Yeah.
There is, you know, a funny side to it, even though, you know, there is a lot of research also. That goes into each and every piece. There is a fun, you know, comical side to, you know, the practice, which, you know, sort of brings, which I suppose, you know, sort of comes from my personality, really. I'm just a big kid, you know. I've never really grown up.
Well, don't ever grow up. It's a great decision to stay young, because that's where you get all the creativity and energy from. You know, a lot of people, they grow up and they just stop doing all the fun stuff in life. So that's pretty amazing that you decided to, you know, stay as just a grown kid. That's how I call it.
yeah, a grown kid. Yeah. No, not.
And I can see that you are grooming your children, your two boys, beautiful boys. I've seen them on Facebook all the time. Obviously, Tanya absolutely loved them. She has photos of them on Facebook with you, of course. Some of them were really pretty too, photos. So.
thank you. The younger boys, actually all the kids have shown a bit of, you know, sort of creative spark over the years. My daughter initially wanted to be an architect. So, you know, yeah, there is that sort of side of things. She loves to draw. My youngest fella, you know, sort of likes to draw, you know, sort of on occasion, but I suppose these days is more of a bit of a bookworm. So probably more, you know, sort of literary and, you know, sort of things like that. But my first son, Raiden, he does exactly what I used to do. He can sit for hours at the table, draw from memory. He'll pause, pause the TV on certain characters, and will sort of snap away with his phone.
Yeah,
to get an image, and then he'll go and sit down and he'll sketch that image out from his phone.
Wow. I can see another super talented Robinson coming up soon.
I'll have an apprentice in the studio in, a number of years to come.
Lucky you. Don't have to pay for him to work there either. Well, before we go, Brian, do you have any advice that you would like to give to our listeners, especially for the young audience?
There is a little thing that I would like to leave all the listeners with, and it's actually the motto that I use in my studio to keep me on the right path, I suppose, and to keep me going. Mm-hmm. And as irony would have it, it actually comes from a Walt Disney cartoon called The Robinsons.
Ah, wow. How ironic.
And so it goes around here. We don't look backwards for too long. We keep moving forward, opening up new doors and doing new things because we're curious, and curiosity keeps leading us down new paths.
Wow.
Thanks for listening.
that's amazing. Thank you so much for that incredible advice. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for your time today. I know that you're busy and you take your time out to be on the show and share your amazing work and wisdom with our listeners today. So I hope you have a wonderful day in sunny Cairns, because it's pouring rain here in Sydney at the moment.
It's pouring rain here in Cairns as well.
Oh, never mind then. We are in the same boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, see ya.
Okay, bye now.
Bye. That's all for today. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you all again next week. Bye for now.